Welcome back, Jay Beakley, Isaac Deere, Dustman. Be back next week. Sitting in studio with me here, a very, very special friend and guest of mine. You guys know who he is. Ron Kopp, lead analyst, ArrowheadPride.com, who's been busy all year, man.
Man.
Arrowhead Pride, man, with the premier newsletter and everything they got, the podcast you've been doing. It's almost draft season, my friend. Welcome, Ron Kopp.
Man, it has been a busy season when you put it like that. We added the newsletter. We added, you know, we were more consistent with AP Film Room, had the YouTube stuff going more this year. It's been a busy season.
Multidimensional.
Hey, but it's all worth it when the Chiefs cement the dynasty, cement the three rings in 5 years. You know, that, it makes it all worth it. Jay, I started writing about the Chiefs for Arrowhead Pride 2019.
I remember.
So all I know is Super Bowl. So it's
right.
Been a fun ride.
You're a spoiled brat, Ron Kopp.
That's what they call me, yeah. Hey, I was a Tyler Thigpen fan back in the day. I rooted on Brody Croyle when I was a kid. So come on, you know, I earned this. I was there. I was in the trenches.
They went from, what, 94 to 2015 without winning a playoff game? What year were you born?
98. Oh, yeah. No, but I knew all the stories. You know, my parents went to all the 90s Chiefs games. I knew all the story. I knew Lynn Elliott's name way too early.
We don't mention that.
You know, I knew about Tony G's, you know, OPI in 97, you know, against Denver.
Oh, some great teams. But the parade's tomorrow, Ron. You know, it culminates always with the celebration. And Chiefs season has been extended, man, because you get your Chiefs. Mecole Hardman was on Kimmel last night. Yeah,
yeah,
one of those night shows.
Them, yeah.
And he was on, and there'll be other Chiefs on different night shows, and it's the way it goes. And there'll be the ring ceremony coming up. Of course, the Chiefs have to change to short time off because it's combine time here at the end of the month. So they're going to have to get busy for that. But it hit Vernon a minute ago, and we're talking about the NFL is really a 12-month-a-year thing because you had the combine coming up here, then you got free agency in March. And then you've got the draft coming up in April. And then you got the OTAs, the rookie minicamps.
It's right away.
And then you got training camp. Really, June, well, there's still OTAs in June. There's literally something every month. Because in July, you have the training camp. So you do have a little period there of 2 or 3 weeks where there's nothing going on. But there's something going on every single month. And then you got preseason. Then you get the regular season all the way till February and the Super Bowl. But literally, there is something every month with the National Football League.
Yeah, well, and that's the fun thing about this Chiefs team and looking ahead to 2024 is I think at certain points this season, I think we all could acknowledge that we could say, look, you know, this team may not have it this year, but they're going to have a dang good team in 2024 once they improve the receiving core, once they, you know, restock maybe just the overall skill position group, maybe, you know, improve the offensive tackle position, maybe, you know, left tackle specifically. And this defense is only going to get better. You know, they're young and hungry, and a lot of guys that we saw in the Super Bowl, you know, some of the biggest impact players on the defense in the Super Bowl are heading into year three as players that are still developing and growing and already showing something. So the fun thing about kind of what you mentioned, having such a long offseason, is I was fired up for this offseason either way. I was fired up to cover this team, see what they're going to do in free agency, see what they're going to do in the draft, you know, how to improve this team. But now the excitement's to another level, Jay, for this offseason, because now we're talking about how this team is going to refine and build a team that is going for history, the first NFL team to ever three-peat. That's something different in terms of an offseason. Like, that's going to have energy in the building for them, you know, when they're working out. You know, possible free agents are going to kind of consider that. The Chiefs are going for NFL history. No one's ever done it. And again, like I just said, there's reason to believe they could be a better roster next year if they handle offseason.
They're
right.
One of nine teams to go back-to-back. Only eight franchises, though, because we saw Pittsburgh do it twice. So one of nine franchises to do it. And but it's house money now. But it's about refining. And we'll get to the wide receivers, because I know there's common sentiment out there. Why do the Chiefs have proven they don't need wide receivers to win world championships? Well, it's all true. They could do it without Mahomes. But we're going to talk about putting fuel in the Ferrari, man. We're going to talk about putting fuel in the Ferrari.
Exactly.
We're talking restock some offensive weapons. But before we do, we've got to talk about this parade. You will not be on a horse. You will be down.
You don't know. I mean,
there has been in the past.
How do we know?
Mentioned that earlier.
I can't tell the future.
Yeah, you might be on a horse.
I can't predict the future.
So you're leaving after this. You're getting a prime spot. Now, how do you consume the parade? Because do you go watch the speeches at the end, or are you on the parade route, or are you one of those fast guys where you can do both and you're resourceful? Right. And you go watch the parade, then you go to...
That's a special kind of Chiefs fan right there. I mean, I do have experience.
People do it, though, but...
I know, you're right.
Okay, how many have you been to? Did you go to 15
Royals? I did both, yeah. I did not go to the Royals
parade.
Okay,
so you didn't go to Royals.
Yeah.
So you were a rookie for the Chiefs parade.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, I know the Royals parade was on a whole other level than the Chiefs in terms of people.
This was your third Chiefs parade.
Yes. And so
Brat, man.
This Chiefs parade needs to get on that 2015 Royals level, though. I mean, it might be hard because that in terms
it was
of
so the, fresh, though. It'd be exactly, 30 years, man.
I know. It's tough. That's what I was just about to say. And I know, but the weather is going to be so nice. And this Chiefs team is literally one of, I know you just mentioned the back-to-back thing, but this is one of only five franchises to ever win three Super Bowls in a span of, actually, it's only one of four franchises ever to win three Super Bowls in a span of five seasons, because the Niners, that 80s franchise, never actually had three in five seasons.
The Patriots did it twice.
Right. And so that's why it needs to be this big parade, because we're talking about a team that cemented itself, just all time in terms of, you know, when you think of the NFL in 50 years, you're going to look back at the history. You're going to say the 70s were the Steelers, the 80s were the Niners, the 90s were the Cowboys, the 2000s, 2010s were the Patriots. The Chiefs are the 2020 team. And it's just amazing to think as a
even though they had the wins and led the attendance in the 90s, they just couldn't get the job done in the postseason. The teams that have repeated world championships: Packers, Dolphins, the Steelers twice, 49ers, Cowboys, Broncos, Patriots, and now your Kansas City.
Yeah, the Broncos
Chiefs
had to do it.
So, all right. How you gonna deal with this tomorrow? You're gonna go to a bar to watch the rally.
Oh yeah, what I was gonna get at is my experience at the parades is, all right, we gotta be at the stage, right? We gotta hear these speeches at the end. You know, you see the screens, you can see the buses going through on the screens. You can see the buses come through that corner, right? If you're near enough to the stage, and you kind of get that. But I'm gonna switch it up this year because I think the players and the buses, they kind of lose the energy by the time they get to Union Station. I think they're kind of ready to, like, just get into the building and kind of, so like when they're taking that last turn, I think they're not as hyped up maybe as they would be, when they're kind of first going through the parade. And maybe the Chiefs, in their experience, maybe they'll kind of slow pace themselves. They won't have a Jalen Watson situation this year. You know, maybe we'll actually have,
which,
you know,
Mahomes retweeted.
Yeah.
So let's explain what happened. He had a little too much fun.
Yeah. And they had a wheelchair for him, not because he was injured. That's the thing is, I'm going to try to find a route spot, you know, somewhere you're actually on the route where, you know, you're watching them go by. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm going to be on the fence, Jay. Don't quote me on that. I'm not saying that, but
remember last year when it looked like Mahomes gave away the or was it Kelsey, one of them gave away the Super Bowl trophy to a fan?
Oh yeah,
it was Buffalo, like, Sports Bar that's in Kansas City.
Yeah, the Blue Line.
Black Rock in Buffalo, but he owned the Lombardi. It wasn't the real Lombardi. That was, people thought the Chiefs actually.
Yeah, right. No, that is a funny video. Yeah. Well, I'm just saying. Like, I think my advice for the parade would be, like, I think the route is the better spot. I think it's kind of overrated to be at the Union Station waiting for the speeches, because it takes a while too. It takes a while for them to get to the speeches. So yeah, I'm not. But everyone's got to go. So either way.
Yeah, you know, here's the thing.
You just got to be there.
I call it a Kansas City holiday. I know it's Valentine's Day for everybody else around the country, but not in this town. This is Kansas City. This is Kansas City Day. You're experienced. Parade guy, Ron.
I mean, I just, yeah. Yeah,
you've covered,
I laid it out.
It's great, though. I love this because you cover this team every day. You break down film. You were talking about the secondary and Trent McDuffie and everything else. You break down the film, and now you get to go enjoy yourself for a day. And I like this. You need the break.
You're still calling me tomorrow, though. You're calling me in the evening.
I'm still calling you tomorrow for Arrowhead Pride Radio. I'll be in here for that. So we're going, because I want to know
I'll give you the parade breakdown. Yeah, exactly.
I want to know how you consumed the parade. But it's becoming funny because it's Title Town, because they're actually getting the job done. Like, before, it was just getting to the postseason, and then it was getting it done. And then I don't know what your expectations were, but I know the expectations, a lot of times that Super Bowl they had in Miami versus the 49ers, Mahomes' first one, it was because Clark Hunt gave the mission objective to the team, which is interesting because he said his goal, his expectation was to win the Lamar Hunt Trophy, named after his father, and then win the whole thing. Now, had they just got there, there might have been, well, you know, you're going back. You know, you're going back.
Like the Royals. Yeah.
You know, you're going to go back there. I was watching Mahomes on Pat McAfee today, and he was talking about how he said the word dynasty this rookie year or whatever. They're like, hey, don't say that or whatever. Yeah. And but anyway, you knew you're going back. But then I'll never forget Kelsey when they lost to the Buccaneers. It was, well, we don't see it as a success because we didn't win it. And you're like, okay, right. The mindset's now changed with this team. The mindset's now changed. It doesn't matter about going there. I think fans kind of got a little bit Jayhawky. where if they didn't go to the Final Four, the season really mattered. Did it actually happen? But then, of course, they win the whole damn thing last year, and they win the whole damn thing this year. And so now the talk of dynasty, and there's no more talk about dynasty. It is a dynasty. It is 100% a dynasty, no question. It was already an AFC dynasty, in my opinion, when you make six straight AFC title
100%.
Games. But this is an NFL dynasty. And how many rings does it stop with Mahomes? Because I saw the argument today with different national shows have been talking about how many rings Mahomes can get. Can he catch Tom Brady? He's already ahead of him now. You know, when you think about the pace. With the pace of it, because having three at 28. Because Brady was, 29 before he had three, but Mahomes is past him.
Yeah, they were similar age.
He's on a better pace right now. But the bottom line is, what ticks me off is how D. Ford being offsides gave Brady another ring because he makes it to the Super Bowl.
That's true.
And he gets another ring. And so you put that further separation.
Well,
now, if he doesn't and the Chiefs go and they beat the Rams in the Super Bowl, then Mahomes is at four and Brady's at six.
Yeah.
And then you're like, ah, this bad boy might fall within 4 years.
Well, and the head-to-head thing. I mean, he doesn't lose that head-to-head. He can never beat Brady again. Brady's always going to be
2-0.
In the
Buccaneers game, I mean, they beat the Chiefs. 100% they beat them there.
Right.
And so Brady gets that extra ring there.
Right.
And Mahomes didn't. But that AFC title game is the one that drove me nuts because it was the old overtime rules where Brady won the toss and goes and wins.
That's true. No, but that's the thing, though, is that I don't really agree with jumping ahead of Brady because he won the Super Bowl. You know, and I know not everyone's saying that, but there are some people trying to, you know, just because of his talent. But there is something to Brady having that one-to-one, you know, one-on-one head-to-head, winning it at the most important moment of the year, one of them in Arrowhead. And I know it was Mahomes' first year starting, but I think, you know, hey, in the LeBron-MJ conversation, you know, in basketball, you know, we didn't get MJ versus LeBron.
It was an overtime thriller, man.
We did get Brady versus Mahomes. It did happen. You can go watch the game. And Mahomes was the MVP of the league that year. And then, you know, a couple years later in the Super Bowl, he didn't have an offensive line, and that's not his fault. All that to say, though, Brady is 2-0 against him. So I do think Mahomes is, like, and he's going to have to do a lot to get over Brady in terms of he's going to have to match his rings at least. I think he just has to because of the head-to-head stuff. I think that's fair. Like I do. Mahomes is second all time for sure, but I think it's fair to give Brady the throne still.
Remember the whole thing with the if you ever heard that thing with the Mannings, like if Arch never had met his wife.
Well, yeah.
Without the Mannings, how many rings would Brady have? It might be like up to 10 or 11. Because of the times Peyton knocked him out, you know, in the AFC title game, and then Eli beating him twice in the Super Bowl. He could have like 9 or 10 if without the Mannings ever being born.
Well, and that's the thing. Going into the Super Bowl, I was thinking, how is a guy like Brock Purdy going to beat an all-time quarterback like Patrick Mahomes? You don't see that in history except Eli Manning against Brady or Nick Foles against Brady. And so that's it does happen, but it's very rare. And just imagine if Brady doesn't trip up to Eli Manning twice. He has 8 or 9. Crazy.
It's crazy stuff. We got a ton to get to. 913-586-7610, the Jay Southland Tow Service text line. We'll address all your texts as well. Ron and I will look to the future of the Chiefs. We'll recap kind of the season and kind of the turning point for this team. We'll do all that next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Kansas City, here I come.
Love the song.
Sing it with me, Ron. Kansas City, here I come. They got some crazy little women there, and I'm gonna get me one.
Okay.
Sing it, Pink. That's right.
I'm gonna be standing on the corner. 12th Street and Vine.
Close to the new stadium.
Corner. Hey, welcome back. Jay Binkley, Isaac Deere producing, Ron Kopp in studio with me as we're going to dissect the Chiefs in every single angle we have on your pre-parade talk. because I know you guys are getting excited for it now. I know you're playing for it now.
They're pre-gaming.
I called a bar during the break. And
yeah, you did.
Because my mom wants to go. My 77-year-old mother wants to go to a bar to watch. She won't go to the parade, but she wants to go to a bar and watch it. And I say, hey, you going to have the sound on for the parade? They're like, yeah, we're actually open at 10 a.m. They're like, yeah, we're open at the bar. It usually opens at 11, 11:30, whatever, this restaurant. So, yeah, we're open up at 10 a.m. We're going to say, you're going to have the sound on for the parade? Yeah, we're going to have the sound on for the parade.
I know what Rod's doing tomorrow at the parade.
Washed it down with one beer, two beers, three beers, a shot of whiskey, a margarita.
Oh, wow.
Keep going.
Yeah, I don't know about all that.
Keep going.
I was with you for the first three. I really was.
Hey,
I really was.
I'm going to go to you in the phone line here in a minute, Reggie, but I'm going to give a shout out right now to the man of the hour, one tough son of a gun, and we all should, this guy should never buy a beer in this town ever again. Like ever, ever again. His name is Nick Allegretti.
Yes, sir.
The way he stepped in for a first team all pro or Joe Tooney, that's one thing. That's one thing. But another thing is suffering a torn UCL in the second quarter of the Super Bowl and playing the entire game.
Yeah.
Glad that's getting some run. Tom Pelissero put that out on Twitter earlier.
He didn't miss a snap.
No.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy. Because, I mean, that's the thing, what I kept saying with Joe Tooney is, like, that's your pec. Like, you kind of really need that to block, to generate power as you're moving somebody, kind of bench pressing them. I would say your UCL is pretty important.
I'd say so, but man.
to keep kind of stability as you're blocking somebody. I mean, my gosh.
You talk about manning up. You talk about manning up. Nick Allegretti, man. There's a few guys I don't think should ever have to buy. Chad Henne's another one.
I mean, leading a 98-yard drive. There's a lot of Chiefs players that should never have to buy a beer again.
Leading a 98-yard drive.
That was awesome.
I mean, Harrison Butker. I mean, there's some people, man.
Yeah, and shout out the text line, because we were talking Mahomes, you know, and Brady comparisons before the break, and Isaac did bring up a good point, and I will concede this. If Mahomes wins three straight, Brady never did that, and I will say, that's a pretty big accomplishment, and on top of the fact that he's going to be, you know, close to all the records and stuff, so I'd give him that. If he wins three straight, that pushes the conversation.
You'll give it to him. All right, let's go back to the phone lines here, and I'm taking this call. Usually I just, you know, just text in. 913-586-7610 is our Jay Southland Tow Service text line. Any Chiefs questions you have, we'll get to them. I got some designated time for that. But I do want to hear from my man Reggie because of his topic on here, which I find extremely interesting. Good evening, Reggie in Anaheim.
Man, how you doing, bro? Good evening, Isaac. Shout out to you. I don't know the bro that's in the studio with you right now.
It's Ron Cobb.
Ron, okay, I need to get homies Instagrams, whatever.
He's their lead analyst on Arrowhead Pride, my man. He's the source.
Oh, okay, then he should know me and I should know him. You know what
you should know each other. Hey, welcome. Hey, Ron, this is Reggie.
Reggie, I've heard you plenty. I'm a 6'10 listener. I mean, I'm very familiar with Reggie from Anaheim, so yeah.
Okay, all right, I'm going to follow you, man, because I'm hyped
up. I'm only on Twitter, though. I'm only on Twitter, and I'm not calling it X, so.
Okay. Yeah, me too. Yeah, we're not grandfathering in X for sure. I had a quick question for you. First of all, man, that game Sunday night, man, 4 hours of torture, but it was so sweet at the end. And I'm just so proud of the city, man. More than anything, I'm just proud to see being on the West Coast, hearing people talk about Kansas City and Los Angeles. That's one of the biggest compliments that I've ever had. My question was, though, of the free agent receivers that are available, I just heard that the Bengals are gonna franchise T. Higgins, so he'll probably be off the table. My question to you two gentlemen is, between Michael Pittman, Mike Evans, Marquise Brown, Calvin Ridley, who would you guys like to see the Chiefs go out and extend a contract to come in for this receiving core? And do you think we should select a receiver first in the first round? I think my thoughts off the ear.
Thank you.
Go Chiefs.
Okay, well, I mean, I'll answer the last part really. Yes, the first pick should be a wide receiver, and we'll get into that. But I'm more of a Mike Evans guy at this point. I know he's, you know, past 30, but he's got the experience. He's won a ring. It's a professional dude that you can throw right into the locker room. I'm a big fan of like the continuity of the locker room or whatever. Oh, yeah. I'm okay with somebody being older because you got young and Rashee Rice and you're going to draft receivers. So I'm okay with that. The T. Higgins thing, they're going to slap a franchise on. I do like Pittman. I like Pittman a lot.
Oh, yeah.
But Mike Evans would be kind of the one I'd be interested in because of his range, getting downfield, and his consistency. I mean, he's got that streak going. It's longer, the 1,000-yard streak he's got.
Yeah, No, hey, keep the Brady comparisons going. Mike Evans would be to Mahomes what Randy Moss was maybe to Tom Brady in that 07 season, where all of a sudden maybe Mahomes has another, you know, crazy stat year because he got a Hall of Fame receiver in his repertoire.
And he happens to be 6'5", and it's something they don't have.
And he's great downfield. He's still fast, but he's also just, you know, unstoppable at the catch point.
And also, by the way, he's also got 1,000 yards receiving every single year in the league.
Yeah, no,
and
I know.
He started in 2014.
And think of the quarterbacks he's played with even before Brady. He played with Jameis Winston, Ryan Fitzpatrick, you know, some of those guys. I mean,
and he had 13 touchdowns. His career high is 14 in 2003. It's the market consistency. I understand age, but he takes good care of himself, and he's right at 30 years old. But if you want to bring a guy in for a year or two and have that experience, because we've seen the experience. We've seen the Sammy Watkins, you know, come in here and bring that, you know, aging veteran type thing. I'm okay with that, 100%.
Right, and Mike Evans would be great. But I will tell you, you know, the one guy on that list that I am intrigued with the most, and maybe it's just because I think he is underrated now after kind of having a quiet season, was Calvin Ridley, the Jaguars receiver this year. Yeah. You know, obviously he didn't play the year before. He had the gambling suspension first year in Jacksonville. And the only year in Jacksonville, potentially, if they don't re-sign him, it just didn't seem like it went super well. But in my opinion, I think for whatever reason down in Jacksonville, that offense was not as creative as it could have been using him. He was lined up in the perimeter like way too much of the time. Rarely used in the slot. Rarely used. You know, kind of in more than just a, all right, go deep or run a comeback route on the sideline. And Trevor Lawrence is going to find you every once in a while. Calvin Ridley's a better receiver than that, in my opinion. And I think there is something, too, if the Chiefs get him in here, he could kind of live up to, you know, there was that one season, I think, with Matt Ryan where he really looked like he could be a kind of a Pro Bowl-level receiver. He is getting to 30 years old next season. So, you know, I know he's getting up there, but he has fresh legs. You know, he didn't play the year before. And this year, I just think he was wasted in Jacksonville. So I think he's someone that if they get on a good deal could really end up, you know, maybe you draft first round and you get him on a decent deal. Man, you're really cooking with fire there.
I mean, he's not Randy Moss. We know nobody's Randy Moss. I mean, Randy Moss is.
I know.
But the one thing about it is, though, when you've consistently got 1,000 yards every single year since 2014, and you've had double-digit touchdowns in 5 seasons, that's the kind of – and he's just coming off a 13-touchdown year. That's the consistency you want. That's – Randy Moss like an all-time great to me. Yes. Mike Evans, though, at 6'5", 230 pounds, getting 1,000 yards every year and getting, you know, 10 to 13 touchdowns, that's perfect.
Well, and what Evans brings to the offense is really what I meant by the Moss comparison.
I'm with you. I'm okay with
you saying
that. From 06 to 07,
from Brady went from 06, he didn't have any weapons, it was a big deal. Then 07, all of a sudden they made that trade. Boom, they go undefeated. Brady wins an MVP. Mahomes won the Super Bowl this year, so it's not the same thing. But next year, you know, they could use another high talent, high caliber, you know, elite level player in the receiving corps. And Mike Evans has that ability where, you know, they could start going downfield more. Mahomes has not been able to use his vertical passing game as much.
Well, it wasn't when he got there because they were a defensive team in New England. That was a defensive team. When he joined there, they came offense again, right?
Right. And obviously
the Chiefs are kind of
the Chiefs don't need that as much.
They become more defensive down, but you add it in.
But Mahomes hasn't had that 50 touchdown year since 2018, right? It's going to happen again. It's going to happen again.
I understand a player like that. Randy was 6'4", Mike Evans 6'5".
Mike Evans, I'm just saying, he's going to help him get another MVP or something, you know?
We'll take a time when we come back. I do want to address I thought this question was going a different way. I do want to address the wide receivers this year in the draft and Brett Veach next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Hey, it's Travis Kelce, and you're listening to the official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs, 610 Sports Radio. You want me, I
want you, baby. My sugar boo. Welcome back, Dave Hinkley, Isaac Deere producing, Ron Kopp, lead analyst, ArrowheadPride.com, in studio with us here. I thought this the Reggie question was going a different direction about Veach in wide receivers, in the drafting of wide receivers, because this was a common sentiment early on in the year. especially in the post game, as far as these people waiting for Rashee Rice to explode. Like, oh, what are we going to do? What are we going to do with Rashee Rice? Well, Rashee Rice led the NFL wide receivers. We're talking wide receivers that were drafted last year, and I was not enamored by last year's wide receiver class. This year I am. This year's the right year need a wide receiver. But I was not enamored. I was Shamari Connor, and by the way, he's played a hell of a year, but we'll get to that. But he led all receivers that were rookies in catches and yards, except there's a caveat. There's an asterisk because there's somebody ahead of him. It's Puka Nacua, who's the all-time leader in rookie receptions and yards. So Puka, my deal with Puka is, and why I don't like to mention him in these things, because Rashee Rice is ahead of Zay Flowers and everybody else, Jordan Addison, Rashee Rice is ahead of them all as far as rookie catches and yards. So Veach drafted the right guy.
Oh, yeah.
Puka was not drafted till the fifth round by the Rams. So I'm not giving him a ton of credit for it. Not to mention, the Rams had four, count them, four fifth-round picks in Kansas City, and Puka was the last of the four picked in the first round. Or fifth round. Fourth. So the Rams, yes, they got Puka and they can brag all they want, but still there was seven players drafted by the Rams before Puka. And again, he was the fifth round selection they had.
Don't give the Rams credit, but you can still give, you know.
Well, I'll give credit for throwing a dart at it.
You can give Puka Nacua credit for being a great receiver.
Sure, the hell would have been the fourth, fifth round pick had they known Puka was that good.
Yeah, no, but Rashee Rice's growth this year. The thing is, at the beginning of the year, he was barely a factor in the offense, even though he did score week one. It is kind of, you know, easy to forget. I mean, he did have a role in the offense, but it was a very limited one. But it just kept growing, and it was clear. I remember the Vikings game. It was week five or so. Mahomes throws a pass to Rice, who's covered in the back of the end zone, and it went incomplete. But if you kind of look, Rice is like completely covered, and Mahomes tries to thread it just past the defender, and Rice actually kind of, you know, he kind of quits on the route because he doesn't think Mahomes is going to give him it. And I remember in the post game, Mahomes talked about it and said, "Yeah, I threw that because I trusted that he was going to, you know, be able to make that play." He now knows to not, like he said, it was a learning lesson for him. He now knows, but the reason he didn't run all the way through that route is because he's a rookie. He shouldn't know to run through that route, I guess is what I'm trying to get at. Mahomes trusted him like a veteran receiver. It didn't work out that time, but it kind of showed that Mahomes wanted to trust him, and boom, all of a sudden by the playoffs, he's looking like a legit threat.
They had to build that chemistry, and that takes time. That's why the camp pat's so important. Guys going down to Texas working out with him because he really was the miracle worker. You think about what he did this year, being a top 10 passing offense with the leading receivers and drops in the National Football League. I mean, that was the magic man, what he did. Yeah. And I know there's going to be a common sentiment out there that he can take other receivers and make them great. I'm good with that. And as I've brought up before, you know, like go ask Reggie Wayne or Marvin Harrison if Peyton Manning built them or were they already good. So Marvin Harrison's in the Hall of Fame, and Reggie Wayne will be there at some point.
Right.
Brandon Stokely got 1,000 yards. They were the only team in the NFL, 2004, I think, to have three receivers have 1,000 yards, and Brandon Stokely was one of those. So, yeah, you take Brandon Stokely and make him good. But it doesn't hurt to have a Jerry Rice. It doesn't hurt to have a Randy Moss. It doesn't hurt to have a Mark Duper or a Clayton. It doesn't hurt to have these guys. It just helps you, your development. And I'm okay with it because 7 out of 10 picks were on defense 2 years ago, 5 out of 7 this past year. It was Friday night last year during the draft where they said, okay, this is the Mahomes night. And they drafted Rashee Rice and they drafted Wanya Morris, the only offensive players they drafted in last year's draft. And okay, you're like, okay, they would have built this defense. They got the youngest defense in the NFL. And look at the fruits of that labor.
Yeah.
And that's why I kept reminding people when they were talking about Veach or whatever in his drafting. And so I was like, wait. How do you think this defense got good, the Magic Fairy? You think they were just sprinkling fairy dust and making this defense good? No, they were drafted. He had 5 rookie defensive backs last year in the Super Bowl against the Eagles. 5 of them. And not only that, he had a leading rusher that was a 7th-round pick. Then he called his own shot saying, you can have a guy like that in the 7th round or undrafted. So he calls a shot. The year before he called a shot, the 2nd and 3rd round was a sweet spot and drafts Nick Bolton.
Yeah.
That he got from the Ravens on the Orlando Brown trade, which is incredibly a shrewd trade. But And no, let's not forget about a lot of things. The Harrison Butker deal that when he first got in here.
Yeah, bringing him from the Panthers practice squad.
What I'm saying is I have full trust in what Brett Veach does, because to build a dynasty, you can't be just players. You can't be just coaches. You got to have a front office. And last year, he was getting a chance for one receiver. I mean, that was probably the plan for the Chiefs, because this year's the load up on wide receivers draft. Last year, it wasn't. It's kind of like reminds me of that year of tackles during COVID, when it was Sam Cosmi and Liam Eichenberg and Alex Leatherwood and none of these guys that made left tackles.
Yeah.
And that's why the Chiefs went out and got Orlando Brown, because there was no tackles in the draft where the Chiefs are drafting, and they realized that. That's why they tried to get Trent Williams till 3 in the morning before he re-signed in San Francisco, and that's why they made the deal with Orlando Brown. They were stuck. They didn't have anything.
Yeah.
And he throws the dart at Rashee Rice. He ends up being right, and I understand why they did it. I understand why they drafted Mahomes. He had the 128th ranked scoring defense in the country at Texas Tech, meaning every time he's on the field, he has to score a touchdown. That's appealing to me. Rashee Rice had 96 catches his last year at SMU. Second on the team was 36. Third on the team was 27, meaning he did everything. Okay, that's a guy you like. That's a guy you want, a guy that goes out there and does everything for his team. I can understand why they drafted Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
And by the way, Rashee Rice also has the rookie reception record in the postseason with 26. So, yes, Veach hit a home run. He got one dart to throw at a wide receiver, and he did an A-plus job.
Well, but if you include the Sky Moore pick the year before, you can say, oh, well, look, hey, you know, he's one for two. But that's the thing with drafting is if you one for two, then that's a home run. If you can hit on one or two draft picks, one or two positions, kind of in that same range.
In all fairness, though, he did give him a touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I know. He contributed. He had a punt return in the AFC Championship last year. So that's my thing, though, is I really do hope the Chiefs and I am confident, like you just said, with Brett Veach thinking this way, that you know Rashee Rice shouldn't be this team's number one receiver next year. This Rashee Rice should just be a very high ceiling, high caliber wide receiver too. But there should be kind of an alpha wide receiver, to use
yards after catch, like a Sammy, like a Juju was.
Yeah, exactly, and they were best as wide receiver twos, kind of playing off of. And I know Travis Kelce, back in those days, was. Maybe a little bit more of like an actual wide receiver one. But I still think, now they just need, they don't need to put too much pressure or too much on Rice. Let him be the guy that takes advantage of the off coverage. Let him be the guy that the team kind of, falls asleep on, gives him a little too much space. And then all of a sudden we see him with Yak. You get him the ball with a little space. He could break off a 40, 50 yard run, and run through arm tackle. So, the more they give, this offense, other guys outside of a guy like Rice, like he's just going to get better and better because he's supposed to be the guy that takes advantage of open space. He's not going to be the guy winning consistently against number one corners and getting himself open over and over right now. He could develop into that, but I'm just saying, I don't think they want to just don't put your chips all into him. Kind of let him be the auxiliary player, for the first few years of his career.
It's 61 starts by rookies that Eagles year. They won the championship them. That was number 3 in the NFL. The top 2 teams in rookie starts picked number 1 and 2 in the draft. That just shows you, and they did it. They didn't say, hey, we got to reload, we got to rebuild. They didn't use those terms because you don't when you have Mahomes as your quarterback.
Right.
But you quietly do it.
Yeah.
You quietly did it, and they did it. Because these guys, when Mahomes, because there's been a lot of talk about that Mahomes cap hit, that he's had the highest cap number, which he did the year before too, which I don't know why people are talking about so much this year because it's all NFL this year. But he had the highest quarterback ever, winning quarterback in a Super Bowl a year ago. And, Brock Purdy was taking 0.3% of the salary cap for the Niners. Maybe they built their teams differently.
Yeah, exactly.
They built their teams differently, and they paid Mahomes, which I understand why. He's got 3 rings, so the Chiefs are obviously right on that. You got to pay your quarterback, and they'll find out. Frisco will find out. And here's my thing. This is what I always want to see. Like, Jalen Hurts just got paid. Lamar Jackson just got paid. Josh Allen's been paid. Justin Herbert just got paid. Joe Burrow just got paid. All right, Mahomes been paid, but Mahomes has 3 rings. So the thing is, once you pay your quarterback, you're going to be good or you're going to draft well? Because if you're going to pay your quarterback, you better draft well and have players that aren't taking much of your cap, and you got to be good. Now, that's when I see these other quarterbacks get contracts, great. Win.
Yeah.
Pay Dak Prescott, win. Now that you've paid your quarterback, show me you can draft.
Well, but that's the thing, though, I will say about drafting well is the draft is a crapshoot. I truly believe that, and I think Veach, does a great job at sifting through that crap and finding the best probabilities, for hit players maybe. But I think the real key to the Chiefs' youth on defense, specifically, obviously, here is Spagnuolo. I mean, Steve Spagnuolo, coming in 2019, you know, they kind of gave him those veterans, right, to kind of jumpstart his defense, but he has been able to develop a defense from that 2020 draft when they drafted Willie Gay, L'Jarius Sneed, Mike Dana. Since that draft, it has been him developing this unit to, you know, become one of the best in the NFL. It was this year. I mean, you could argue it was the best defense in the NFL this year after the Super Bowl. And I think a lot of that is the coaching more than it is like, oh, Brett Veach has found like all these really good defensive players. Like, I think Spagnuolo is a heck of a defensive backs coach, and so is Dave Merritt. You know, Dave Merritt, I think those two combined might be.
I think Spags does give his advice for the draft.
Right. Oh, yeah, for sure.
When it comes to defensive backs, yeah.
Yeah, but I think you see the talent develop, and I think it's Spags deserves a lot of credit. And maybe if it was a different defensive coach, maybe we don't look at Brett Veach the same, like, oh, we found all these hits, because maybe a coach doesn't develop, you know, Leo Chenault into the impact player he is. Maybe they don't develop Mike Dana into a starter, you know, L'Jarius Sneed into a shutdown corner. There's a lot of stuff on this Chiefs defense that Spags deserves a lot of credit for, too.
The problem is, when you create all these stars, you create more problems because everybody would pay.
Exactly.
Oh, all man. Your players are good. I remember going in the draft last year, 21 of 22 guys that were drafted were on the roster.
Yeah.
21, Bo Peep was the only one that wasn't on there. And this year it changed, but 21 of 22 drafted guys. That even included the COVID year where nobody hit in the NFL. They did. 21 of 22 guys that were drafted by the Chiefs were on the roster. And that's one thing to say it if we're talking about the Cardinals. It's right. One thing to say if we're talking about the Broncos. It's another thing to talk about the Chiefs that are actually winning Super Bowls. Like, it's every team, yeah, they play rookies. I mean, they'll play draft picks, but I don't give them credit. Hey, you're playing draft picks. You're playing them because you have to.
Yeah.
But now play them and win.
Right.
And that's what they're doing. They're playing them and winning.
Right. And again, I just think that really does speak to the coaching getting the most out of that talent. You can't tell me that Brett Veach is just that good at that, you know, hey, I found 21 to 22 guys that no matter where they went in the NFL, they would have turned into an impact player or stayed on the roster. You know, I think, yes, obviously the Trent McDuffies, the George Karloftis are great draft picks. He made those picks. He went up for McDuffie. You know, he knew he wanted Karloftis when he slipped. But some of these other guys, like a Jalen Watson, Joshua Williams, you know, I think Sneed, too. I mean, you know, I don't think they're the same player if Spags doesn't have his hands on him.
Double J, I'll get to you. The text line 816 says, I propose we refer to Leo as Super Bowl champion, Chanel. Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you something about Leo that you don't know next.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.